Let's join together in chorus as we proclaim the majesty of our Lord. To come and lead us in prayer at this time, as today we are having a special chapel as well as tomorrow. Today, emphasizing what God is doing through our seminary and allowing us the privilege of being a part of in foreign mission work, and then tomorrow, home mission work. And so we're so grateful for the emphases that are here at Southeastern to everything that we do, taking it to the mission field both home and abroad. And I'm so grateful for Dr. Braswell and for Dr. Isle and all that they do in this area. So Dr. Isle is going to take us to the throne of grace at this time. Let's bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Keith. Let me ask you to remain standing as Brother Rand comes to lead us as we sing again.
Our hymn of missions this morning is 5.
Thank you so much for being here today as we worship our Lord in this chapel service. In just a moment, our chapel choir under the leadership of Dr. Jim Good is going to bring our message in song. And then following that, the service will be turned over today to Dr. Idle as he and a number of our students present a report from their summer mission work on the foreign mission field. Everything that we do here must be done in a context that points to and understands and underlines the importance of reaching men and women for Jesus Christ. I love theology, and I enjoy teaching theology, but theology is a waste of time if it is not done in the context of the missionary imperative that has been given to us by our Lord. And that is true of every discipline that we do here at Southeastern Seminary. So I'm grateful for the emphasis that will be here today and also tomorrow. And so after Dr. Good has led our chapel choir, Dr. Otto will take the service, and we will hear today of what God did this summer through some of our students and faculty on the foreign mission field. Water between the
was a tremendous trip, and to not take too much time away from those who would like to testify as to what they saw God do during this time, I want to get right to it and let you hear the heartbeat of the life-on-life personal encounter of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of glory, with those who needed to hear. For whatever God's purposes or reasons, He appointed before the foundations of the world a time when some of these folk would be lifted out of our culture and come face to face with people in the Amazon and actually have a divine encounter, a time which will stand for all eternity when they have trusted Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to ask them to come up into groups of three. I'd like to ask Brother Dan to come first, and Brother Al, and then Brother Bill. And if you would, just go ahead and come up here and stand, and ask them to be succinct so we can get everyone in this morning, and share what's on their heart about what they saw God do in that time.
Jesus sent the 70 out, and when they returned, they said this, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. I'm here to testify to you that the demons were subject to us in his name." We use questionable modes of communication. There was one translator among the 16 that were on the boat at the time. One translator. Dr. Idle told us to go out and to tell those to come in to see the Jesus film. Dr. Idle, don't you remember that they speak, well, we had a communication gap. Well, we went out. The children followed us around. They found out what we were trying to do. They followed us around, and they started inviting the people to come to the film. It was amazing. And the amazing part about it is they came to the film. They saw, and they were saved. Phenomenal. We had nothing to do with this. We were supposed to go out and to tell the people about Jesus. Right. Remember the language barrier. So Al Calleros had prepared a tape before we left of the gospel presented in Portuguese and in Spanish. We had one in Spanish. These people listened to a cassette recording of the gospel presentation and came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. They came, they saw, and they were saved. And the strange thing about that is that they brought others to come to know, to find out about it too. And what I'm trying to tell you about that is that the Holy Spirit himself was at work there. We had nothing to do with this. Absolutely nothing. We were I felt like a mere spectator watching God work. Amazing. Second thing, we had authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Well, we use questionable modes of transportation. There was a Toyota that was about half dead, but anyhow, Toyota pickup, the crew cab. Six people in the front, nine people in the back. Nine people sitting in the bed of this pickup now. That don't sound too bad until you add 50 miles per hour down a dirt road. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's questionable in my mind. Then there was a riverboat. The best way I can describe this is a Louisiana or a Mississippi riverboat without the paddle wheel. Very, very similar, that old style without the paddle wheel. Okay? There were 23 people on the boat. That wouldn't be so bad, but the capacity was about 15. That wouldn't have been so bad either, maybe, except the boat leaked. About every 4 hours, we had to bail the boat. One night, I woke up, and there was about 2 to 3 inches of freeboard on the side. It was getting ready to go under. So we began bailing that. What I'm trying to say here is God protected us from all harm. And the result, a superintendent of 52 schools was saved. Many women, children, and men were saved. What I'm trying to tell you is that God is alive. He protects his servants, and he will protect you wherever you go. I urge you to go out and to tell others about Jesus.
My name's Alcalheiros. I was born and raised in Brazil, but I was born and raised in Rio. And this trip, I've been here since I was 17, so this trip to Brazil, to the Amazon jungle, was much as of a culture shock to me as it was for anybody else. After, I was fortunate enough to start on the group that stayed inland, and then I was unfortunate enough to be, I was gullible enough to be sucked into going into that boat. After encountering that boat and spending 4 days and four nights in that thing, I was convinced that a mad scientist had found the Tasmanian devil and reduced him to a size of a net. That was something that they called over there the Buhashudu mosquito. That wasn't no mosquito. No mosquito I've ever encountered before. But the Lord did protect us. I am amazed at how the hand of God was seen in that place. And the Bolivian side, while we were going around inviting the people to come to see the Jesus film, we encountered a lady, a Catholic lady, of course. And she was probably about 80 years old. And she said, "I'm not going." And in my broken Spanish, I said, "Well, why not? Why aren't you coming?" And she said, "I'm Catholic, and we're having a vigil here. I've heard about you and your film." And she said, "We are going to pray that it'll be a failure, that nobody will come to it." Well, that night, we started getting together, getting ready, preparing for the film. And we had told everybody, 7 o'clock to come. And 7:30 came around, and there were very, very few people there. Maybe 20, 30. Dr. Otto came to us, and a group of us started praying. Said, "Lord, move upon these people." Within a 10-minute time, we had about 150 people inside that place. No one comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, we did nothing. We were only a vessel. And praise God, we emptied ourselves so the Holy Spirit could flow through and do his work. As a native of Brazil, I've always had a burden for my people. I've always had a burden to see the gospel of God preached and souls saved. And this chance was a unique opportunity for me. I hadn't gone back to Brazil in 17 years. I really didn't know what to expect. All my Christian experience is right here in the United States. So I really went to this trip, went on it fearful, excited, really not knowing what I was going to encounter, and really not knowing how I was going to translate for these brothers and sisters. And among all the people that I had to translate to, I told them right off the bat, I said, "Folks, don't use idioms. Please don't do that. You know, it's hard to translate idioms. You can't do it. It's just from one language to another. Brother Donaldo is over here. He knows what I'm talking about. You can't translate jokes. You can't do that type of stuff. It makes no sense." So I had a few stubborn brothers who who decided to make my life miserable. And between the thunder, the lightning striking and the thunders bellowing, and some medical terms thrown at me, and the story of a dog that died and then got resurrected, the Lord was gracious and did his work. We saw a tremendous amount of people come to the Lord. We saw things which I had never thought in my life that I would see of experience. And a part that touched my heart the most was when I saw the little children stand up in front of the churches and sing their hearts out in praise to God. And I couldn't help but think back and look and think of our comfort, our padded pews, our nice plush carpets and air conditioning, and these people going into wood huts, basically, and worshiping God. And that just seared a thought in my mind that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my God is the same today, yesterday, forever, wherever we go.
My name is Bill Clark, and I think one of the highlights for me was when two little guys sort of attracted to me, and they came up and we started spending time together, and I love their names, Julio and Gabriel. And we had a sheet with a paragraph just witnessing about the gospel, and we had English beside it, so we could, having had Spanish years ago, I could at least read it, and then I could understand what I was saying because I had the English translation. And both of them prayed with me to receive Christ. It wasn't an emotional type of thing or anything, and I don't know. I may never see these little boys again. One was, I think, 8, and one was about 10 or 11. I may never see them again, but, you know, one day in heaven, I might see those little guys. I might see them, and they say, Bill, you remember me? Julio. I'm Gabriel. Everybody here should take a mission trip at some point while you're here. I want to tell you something. Planes scare me. Those bus rides scared me. If you want to read my journal someday, on Trans-Brazil, flying over the Atlantic all night, hitting turbulence, I thought we could go to the end of drink any minute. But I am not going to let that stop me from reaching people around the world. Just like we would not let something stop us from reaching people next door.
That's right.
The real highlight for me was that I carried my guitar. I thought it would be a great burden to carry this big old guitar, and it was, but it was worth it. And in Western Brazil, we met this fellow named Ari Milton, and young guy. He had been part of a band, and he was known all over the states of Western Brazil for his rock band. Became a Christian. I think every member of that band became a Christian. And this had happened before we got there. But my heart was really knit with him, and we played guitar and sang together. I taught him a song in English, and he translated it, or somebody translated it for us, and we practiced it in Portuguese. And he wrote to me, and he said, every time I'm in the church playing music, he said, I think of you. And then he says, and we are really reaching out to the losting souls. That's how he said it. It's tough getting his letter in English, but wait till I try to write one back in Portuguese. So I'm going to do these songs. I'm going to do it in English, and if you know the song, if you know the chorus, please sing it with me, and then I'm going to do it in Portuguese.
I worship you, Almighty God.
Sing along if you know it.
There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. Principe da paz, e isso que quero fazer, te adoro, és minha justiça. Te louvo, grandioso Senhor.
Thank you.
As you probably are gathering, the physical experience of this trip was a bit taxing, but it's not mean that we all survived. Even though at any moment you weren't sure if you fell in the drink of that river, there are about five things that could eat you rather quickly, but nevertheless, we survived. As a matter of fact, we've even got a couple who are coming back for more. Kimberly and Bill are going to join us on our trip to Kenya in December. Praise the Lord. The bottom line was that Brother Richard has written back and the count is in from all of the churches and the experiences that we had, and that they were able to actually register. There were 410 professions of faith. Amen. The amazing thing is there's just a continuing ripple effect because there's a small revival sweeping that whole area. He says he's never seen this kind of thing impact the area like it has. So we just praise the Lord that, again, we were just instruments. We were just willing vessels, and he chose to move in and through us. Also, at this point, real quickly, I'd like to ask Brother William to sing a section of the song People Need the Lord in Spanish for us.
Cada día puedo ver en sus ojos el sufrir, en tan llena de dolor y sin rumbo aquí, en angustia y soledad, llenos de temor. Raíz esconde su aflicción, solo Cristo ve. Tienen que saber del amor de Dios. En las pruebas y el temor, el refugio da. Tienen que saber del amor de Dios, que en él hay salvación. Tienen que saber.
In Spanish, English, or Portuguese, people need the Lord.
All right, we have three more I'd like to ask to come up very quickly. Brian Prather and Tim Addis and Bob Crowley, if you would.
Sitting over there really humbled and just trembling at just the awesomeness of the memories that were just coming up of seeing what the Holy Spirit was doing for those 2 weeks. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. And I sit here and think about the first time we were in the airport in Brazil, and it had been a while. We've been flying and we stunk, man. And our flesh was stinking in more ways than one, man. And a few of us took maybe some hints or just a wise decision to head to the bathroom and kind of do a sink shower, you know. And we walked in, and the first thing that I saw there was a guy and his son, a young boy, didn't know it was his son at the time. And their job was to clean up around the toilets and the sinks, you know, after they got done. And I don't know, my heart just went out to this guy, and I just thought of how, what would that be like here, you know, if we walk in and see somebody like that. If we see another boy walk in and see a boy doing that, he's got to spend 8 hours in there with his dad, I guess. I don't know what their shifts are, but just the contrast of that, and he'd probably get made fun of here, and even that guy would be thought as a loser as to our worldly society here. And he come over and he did his job. He just hopped right to it and started wiping the sinks off for us. And and I was really touched by that. And I was getting ready to leave, and he went back in one of the stalls and grabbed a straw hat, and he came out to me, and he said in his own way, somebody had left this here. I couldn't speak his language, and he couldn't speak mine. And I thought of how nice that was of him. He could have kept that hat, and he probably couldn't afford to buy one himself. And so I handed him a tract and a tip, and I had no idea what this tract said. I hadn't even read my English version of the gospel of this tape I had yet. I just, here, brother, you know, I wasn't being bold. I was just trying to be nice, you know. I wish I could sit here and say that, yeah, I was ready to pour it on him. But I just handed it to him and just hoped for something to happen, and I walked away. A few minutes later, somebody came and was yelling for me to come back. I think these guys, they want you for something. Did you do something to them? Or? Well, I went in, and I didn't know what to do. So I had this tape, and I just punched a button, and he sat down, and I knelt down. And here we are. I mean, we're kneeling down on the floor right here, and God knows what. And there's people watching up here. The urinals are right there, and it wasn't those kind on the wall. They hit the floor down here. And people were walking around us, Portuguese, Brazilians, and a few of our guys were still in there. And I could tell that he was really listening. I was, wow, he's really listening to this, man. I don't even know what he's saying, you know. But all I knew to do was just leave my eyes open and watch him and start praying. So I started just praying for the Holy Spirit to just do whatever it is that you do, you know, because I can't do anything with this guy here. I could just tell him when that tape stopped, he got up, he stood up, and he pointed to his heart and did something like this, and I went, like, I don't know what he's trying to say, but I have a good idea, you know. And one of the guys with us, Rob Evans, he's not here, bless his heart, man. And Rob's, he's a big old country boy, man. He said, well, I think he's been saved, or he's trying to say he wants to be, you know. And I said, all right. Well, we went and got Russ, and I don't see Russ here either. But, man, what's Russ's last name? Minnick is one of the mightiest servants I've seen. I'll tell you what, that guy is a hard worker for the Lord. But we went and got Russ, and he come in, and Russ went through him and went through this thing and translated, and Russ said he prayed to receive Christ through that tape. He wanted you to know that. Not only did he, but his son did too. Amen. I can't stop there, man. He said, I had prayed before I went. You know, I knew I was going into a drug, cocaine-infested area. I got delivered out of that kind of life, praise the Lord. It's going to cut me in two. But I'd asked the Lord. I said, God, if I can just make a difference in one drug addict's life over there, because I know there's some. About that time, this guy pointed to his arms, and he said, I've been having trouble with shooting drugs. And he said that I've not had as much trouble as I've had. He said, but I never knew that I could have this kind of a strength that I have. And he said that I have a new strength now. He said, for the first time, I feel free. You know, and I just thought of how wonderful it was that God, what he'll arrange, and how he will just grab a hold of the world, and he'll just hold it still for that one lost soul. And even if we have to go thousands of miles to present the gospel, and the language, God was not threatened by a language barrier. God is not threatened by anything that is thrown up that Satan can throw in front of us. And I just want to close with this real quick. Think of a little girl that we led. We went to a hospital, and I'm going to go fast through this, but we went in the hospital. We had to go through security to get in there and witness the people. We went in, we laid hands on babies that they had, that didn't know what was going on with, and we sat there and we led a mother to the Lord. Two ladies that were in the hallway heard what we were doing, and they come in, they wanted to receive it. These people started following us room to room, and new believers, and as we presented the gospel and prayed with people to receive Christ, they would be praying right with us, these new believers, and followed us from room to room, and we saw several people led to the Lord. And Christiana, one little girl who worked at a radio station, she came to know the Lord then. She followed us. She followed us home. She stayed there at night. She was there in the morning. She would not leave. A few weeks later, we got a letter that she had died suddenly. Oh. That's the first thing that I wanted to say. I wanted to say, oh, and I went, no, praise God. Man, that girl spent her life in eternity. She had 2 weeks. So there's a, you know, you just can't really put it into words what it means, and what it means in her life now, too. And they said she got active in the church and in youth. And man, it's just beautiful. And all I could think of was just, you know, that's what a mighty God we serve, you know. And that last verse of the Great Commission is that, lo, I am with you always, until the, even to the ends of the earth. And that's exactly where we were, too. And so praise the Lord. Thanks.
I feel like I need a stepladder this morning. The primitiveness of Brazil really didn't bother me too much. You go to Haiti a few times, and nothing will really bother you after that. But One of the things I want to share with you is just about one of the families that we visited, and I don't know where this place was. I'm sure that this place didn't even have an address because it was in the middle of nowhere. We walked in the house, David and Cameron and I, and the Pastor Richard had finally shown up because we were thwarted several times on this trip by, I don't know, it must have been somebody that went to one of our schools that's over here somewhere. But so we go in this house, and there's a man and his wife there. The man is in the bed, and he's recently had a stroke, and he's got just skin just hanging from his bones. He has no muscularity in any of his joints or anything. And so Pastor Richard said, we're going to have a worship service right here. And he said, worship service? In this, you know, this mud hut with a tin roof, you know, in the middle of nowhere. And he said, okay, we're going to sing some songs now. Sing some songs in this mud hut in the middle of nowhere. And so there was like little kids all over next to this man, and he's laying in the bed and just kind of just propped up and trying to listen to us. And we sang several songs, and then Pastor Richard said, which one of you boys is going to preach? Preach? I said, give me 40 hours and I'll come back and I'll have something, you know, really set up for you. And then I began to think about what it is in the book of Ephesians, the tension that there is between the here on earth and the already in heaven. And I begin to think that that's what that man needs to hear, because I don't think this man is too much for this world. And I began to preach, and I began to share what the gospel was and what the heart of the gospel message meant. And in a very short time after that, the missionaries started talking to him and going through this, the proclamation of what I had said, because, you know, it took a little time for, between translations to get it straight. And this man got saved. But then, as I went into the other room, there was a picture of a jaguar in the front of the house on a white tapestry. And I begin to think, well, I've seen some stuff like that before. And so this man had already been saved, and Pastor Richard began to share with this wife. And apparently she was involved with voodoo or magumbo or some kind of, you know, pagan religion. And it was just like when I walked in from this room to that room, I felt this evilness, this heaviness in the air. And you can't describe that unless you've actually been under it. And I've only experienced it one other time. And he began to share with her and speak with her. And she was very adamantly opposed to what he was saying. We're adamantly opposed here in the United States sometimes. We get doors slammed in front of our faces. We get people that just won't listen to us. But it doesn't matter. As long as we witness, it doesn't matter, because the fruit will eventually come. And it came for that man, because that day was the acceptable day for salvation for him. You know, the word is spoken of in the book of Jeremiah as a fire, as even a hammer that breaks stone. Sometimes I feel like we need a jackhammer here in the United States. But I just want to challenge you this morning. If God has ever spoke to you about missions and what missions is about, you go and read Isaiah 6 or go and read Jeremiah 1 and just see, you know, if he really wants you to go somewhere else. Amen. To preach the gospel.
Well, as my brother Bob says, missions is really important, and I think that when someone takes a trip of this magnitude, that everyone is affected. I know that I come back, and I was a different person, and I was impacted by this trip that I took, but I don't think that we can focus on us as much as that. I know 410 people who are definitely different today in Brazil than we are here in America, and I praise God for what he done, and the Holy Spirit's work has already been said that we had nothing to do with it. We were just instruments there. And I remember one instance, we were showing the Jesus film in Sergeras, and we had it set up out in the dirt street, and we had about 150 people standing out there for 2 hours watching this small TV monitor. And we were tired. It was at the end of the day, and me and one of my brothers, Phil Brantley, we were sitting on the front porch and kind of resting while some of the others took care of the film. And some of the children kept coming around, and they just wanted to be around us. They just liked to hear people speak English, even though they couldn't understand. They were curious about the language. And so we would tell the interpreters to tell them to go back out and watch the film, because the film was the impact that we wanted to have on the people. That's where we need them to be, was watching the film. And they would go away, and it wouldn't be 10 minutes. They'd be gathering back around. It's six or eight of them. And we would send them away again, and the Brazilians would, you know, rush them off again back to the film. And about the third or fourth time they came back, I'll never forget, my brother Phil, he said, get me an interpreter over here. I want to speak with these children. And he gathered them all around him, and they were eight of them, and he began to share how that the disciples would push the children away from Jesus, and how he began to speak with them and share with them about the kingdom of heaven, and how that my brother Phil began to share the gospel with them, and they were sitting there with their little brown eyes just as attentive as they could be, giving their undivided attention. And through the interpreter, he spoke with them the entire gospel message. They never took their eyes off of him the whole time. And in Portuguese, they asked him, "Would you like to accept Jesus into your heart?" And every one of them said yes. And one by one, they all prayed the sinner's prayer in Portuguese with their little heads bowed and their little hands together. And it was so sweet. And then he began to share continually with them how it was important for them to go and tell their parents what had happened, and to get involved in a church and be discipled and learn more about Christ. It went further than just an initial decision. It was a growth process, is what he explained to them. And I couldn't help but think about, not only were eight children saved, but those eight children can have an impact on their whole family when they get home. Many times the way that God uses children is to win their parents to Christ. And I just think that the impact that was on Brazil at this time went from children all the way to, you heard, some very old adults were saved and all different walks of life. We had some people who were superintendent of schools and very wealthy people to some that were dirt poor. So God moves in every aspect of every culture, of every walk of life. And I just praise him for that. Thank you.
Well, the only thing left to say, and I realize the time is upon us, is will you go? Christ said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Folks, that's not the great suggestion. That's the great commission. What I'd like us to do now, I'd like to ask Brother William if he'd come back to the microphone. And very quickly, we're going to stand. And as he sings, just all over the auditorium, I'm going to invite you, not necessarily to commit your life to foreign missions right now. I realize that's perhaps a step too far for you at the moment. But to simply raise your hand where you sit. And what you're signifying by raising your hand is, Lord, perhaps I've put a few conditions on what I perceive you're calling me to do.
Every day,
and Lord,
they pass,
I simply vow to pray,
me by.
No strings attached. Wherever you lead,
I'll
go.
Can see it,
and I'll seek him,
in
and I'll lead,
their
follow his leadership.
Eyes,
thank you. All over
empty
the auditorium.
Empty people filled with care,
put your hands.
Headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries that only Jesus hears. Will you sing the chorus with me? People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. Need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for people need the
Father God, in Jesus' name, we pray that we'll go from this place realizing that people need the Lord, and that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. In Jesus' name.